with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way there, he entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, the birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But the person replied, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets his hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. For freedom, Christ has set us free. These words from today's second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians allow us to focus on one of the most important questions and receive God's help to answer it. What is the purpose of our freedom? What is the relationship between our freedom and law, especially God's law? How do I grow in freedom? Can I and how would I lose freedom? These are questions that are good for us to ponder, not only as we prepare for Independence Day in just over a week, not just as we filter through the news of what the folks in Great Britain just did in using their freedom to liberate themselves from the European Union, but it's most important as we look at many of the big questions that are facing us as citizens, as Christians, as family members, parishioners, and more. For freedom, Christ has set us free. All that the Lord Jesus did for us was to liberate us, free us from the power of sin and from the death to which sin leads. He wants to free us forever. But that liberation has a purpose. St. Paul says Christ has set us free for freedom. He has liberated us in order that we might become truly free. Because in order to fulfill our vocation to love God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as God loves our neighbor, we must be free, since we can never love out of compulsion. At the same time, we have to realize that we can also misuse our freedom, and in so doing, enslave ourselves by becoming, for example, addicts to drugs or to pornography or to getting our own way all the time. That's why St. Paul tells us, "So stand firm in freedom and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery." Christ has blown open the prison doors and let us out into the light. But now there's a responsibility that each of us has to use that great gift of freedom to continue following him into the light rather than returning to the self-imposed darkness of the servitude of sin. How do we remain free? How do we grow in freedom? Jesus told us in St. John's Gospel, "If you keep my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." To stay free, we must live according to the truth. the truth about right and wrong, the truth about who we are, made in God's image and likeness, the truth about our calling to a life of loving communion with Him and with others. Freedom, and this is so key for us to grasp, is not the ability to do whatever we want, wherever we want, whenever we want, with whomever we want, without the interference of anyone else. It's not the power to pretend that we're God, determining good and evil, even deciding over life and death. Freedom, rather, is the capacity to act in accordance with the truth about who we are in God's image and likeness. It's about the ability to live with virtue, the self-mastery that allows us to become whom God created us to be, as images of Him who is both love and truth. Some of you may know that I helped to represent Pope Francis of the United Nations. And there at the United Nations, of the 193 countries in the world, we've got many who are living under subjugation. And they understand what freedom means. Freedom fundamentally means to be able to do what they were made to do. In China, for example, we've got so many people who can't follow God out into the light, because the communist government prevents their being able to do it. Christians in Saudi Arabia can't worship publicly. They have to go into the various embassies because religious freedom isn't respected. And here in the United States, we're now living with an encroaching attitude against religious freedom and freedom of conscience on which it's based. So certain people are trying to say to us in government, we're not going to allow you freely to hire for St. Michael's School people who hold and believe the Catholic faith. There are court cases out there that are trying to prevent us from being able to do that. Others that are saying to nuns, religious women, we're not going to allow you to have health care unless you and your health plans pay for other women to have abortions. There are many who don't really appreciate how important freedom is. And the real purpose of our freedom is so that we can do what God created us to do and become fully alive in His image and likeness. So that's why what God is telling us today is so crucial for our life as Catholics. St. Paul tells us that the most fundamental choice we have to make in life, the litmus test for whether we will strengthen and expand our freedom or diminish and lose it, is dependent on whether we choose to live by the Holy Spirit or what he calls according to the flesh, which means living dominated by rather than controlling our instincts. The more we choose to live by God, by the truth He has revealed, by self-discipline and the responsibility and care for others, the more free we will be. The more we abuse our freedom to live apart from God and His truth, the more we voluntarily squander our freedom away and become slaves to something. So many in our culture, sadly, are confused about this. Some we know clamor that in the name of freedom, parents must have the ability to choose to end the lives of their own little children in the womb. Others say that freedom means the ability to smoke as much pot as they want, or to be able to turn their back on their family, their parents, their children, their spouses, to turn their back on immigrants or the poor and those in need. Others think it's the ability to define themselves any way they want. Today a man, tomorrow a woman. Today I'm white, tomorrow I'm black. As if that's real freedom, to live in the world of make-believe, rather than to live in the real, real world. What so many fail to see that is in such behavior, one way or the other, they're becoming enslaved to this fantasy, and it's never going to lead them to happiness. St. Paul reminds us today that the purpose of our freedom is not to enable self-indulgence, self-definition, and life according to the flesh, but rather for love and responsibility and to live in accordance with the truth that Christ has revealed to us, which will make us free in this world and forever. The choice between living according to God or living according to the flesh is what the dramatic gospel scene is about today. It puts into relief what our freedom is for and challenges us to see if we are really being led by the Spirit. More than 20 times throughout the Gospels, Jesus says the words, "Follow me." Each of us has received that calling from Jesus. It's an appeal to our freedom. He doesn't hold a gun to our head and say, "Follow me." He appeals to our freedom. The biggest, most important decision of our life is to use our freedom to make a real commitment to follow Jesus on the exodus out of slavery, the path of real freedom and love, the path that leads to happiness, holiness, and heaven, precisely the path He has walked and charted for us. We know that those who are the real heroes in life have used their freedom to follow Jesus on this path. That's what 11 of the 12 apostles did. It's what Mary Magdalene did. It's what the Blessed Virgin Mary did. We also know that many others used their freedom to refuse to follow Jesus. We see the tragic decision of the Samaritans in today's gospel, who would not welcome Jesus at all into their town because he was preparing to go to Jerusalem, where he would die for their sins. We see it in many scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees who use their freedom to conspire to murder Jesus on Good Friday. We see it in Pontius Pilate and Herod, who instead of using their freedom to protect a man they knew was innocent, used it to have him crucified. We see it in the rich young man who, when given a choice to grasp onto the hand of Jesus, who wanted to lead him to perfection, instead grasped onto his many material possessions. We see it in all those disciples of Jesus who, as soon as he revealed to them the mystery of the Holy Eucharist, that we needed to gnaw on his flesh and drink his blood to have life, decided that the teaching was too hard to endure and chose to walk away. In today's gospel, we have several examples that should hit close to home. These were people who wanted to follow Jesus, but felt bound, felt enslaved by something that they let prevent them from making the commitment to follow Jesus fully. In their case, it wasn't sin that was enslaving them, but it was good things that they had made idols that prevented them from following the one true God. First person said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus wanted him to be clear about the cost of discipleship. He said, "Foxes have dens and the birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." In other words, if you're going to come follow me, you're not going to be rich and powerful in this world. Are you up for it? Anyone who follows Jesus needs to know it's not necessarily going to be a comfortable or easy life. It's going to be a life of self-sacrificial love. We don't know the decision this man made, but the context implies that he preferred having a pillow than choosing to follow a pillowless Redeemer, that the pillow ultimately was more important than God. Next, Jesus explicitly calls a man to follow him, but the person replied, "Let me first go and bury my father." It's important to note that there's no indication that this father was even dead or about to die. What's more likely is that the man was the firstborn son who, in a Jewish culture, would be the one responsible for caring for his father in old age. Therefore, what this man was basically saying was, "Jesus, my father's more important than you, and I'll come back and follow you in 10, 20, 30 or more years when my father's no longer here." Jesus' reply, "Let the dead bury their dead," is an indication that anyone who doesn't have God in the center is to some degree already spiritually dead. And to have life, we need to make the choice to follow Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus by no means was telling this man to break the fourth commandment to honor his father and mother. But what Jesus was emphasizing was he had first to keep the first commandment, to love God above every other love. And it was through that that he'd learned how to keep the fourth commandment better. The third person told the Lord that he would follow him, but he first wanted to say goodbye to everyone. Not a bad desire. Certainly not evil to say farewell to friends and family, as if he never would have had a chance in the future to do so. But what this man was doing was conditioning his response, putting following Jesus behind human considerations, and failing to recognize the unbelievable privilege of the invitation he had just received. That's why Jesus gave him and us a crucially important principle. No one who puts his hand to the plows and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus was calling him and us to set our hand to the plow and to look at what we're getting rather than what we're giving up. To look at him and follow him along the path of freedom, faith, and felicity rather than peering backward to yesterday's treasures. He's calling all of us to use our freedom to make him the true priority of our life. I give God thanks today that in a special way, on the 17th anniversary of my ordination as a priest, that he gave me so much help here at St. Michael's to be able freely to make this choice to follow Christ as a priest. The encouragement I received from Fathers Bailey and Sullivan and O'Malley and Mendico as a teenager, the help I received from Fathers Nee and Capone, the encouragement I got from so many parishioners to give a free and wholehearted yes to God, to follow him down the path of the vocation of the priesthood, which was his plan for me within the vocation each of us has received to follow him always, is one of the great blessings of my life. I pray that St. Michael's, like every Catholic parish, will continue to be such an effective school of freedom to help everyone, young and old, learn that the purpose of our freedom is to follow God, to love like God, and to help others to learn to love and walk in his ways. Today, Christ looks on us with love and calls us to use our freedom wisely. He calls us to put our freedom to work and allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it is here that the Holy Spirit leads us, so that we might behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and liberates us from sin and death. Rather than gratifying the desires of the flesh, we come to be nourished by Jesus' flesh and blood, which strengthen us to make a total commitment to him right here where he makes a total commitment to us. And Jesus calls us all anew to follow him now. And so let's do so, and let's help others to say yes to Jesus and to walk in his ways with a free, committed, total love and cheerfulness. Doing so is the most important decision we'll ever make, and the path to solidify, secure, and expand our freedom. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Let us now, with all our hearts, freely do this in memory of him. Praise be Jesus Christ.